welcome to Audio Journal's Radioactive Theater, which presents quality dramas, comedies, and mysteries from or reminiscent of the golden age of radio. RAT's programs are aired at 6 p.m. on the 3rd, 4th, and 5th Tuesdays of each month, and the following Sundays at 8 p.m. This program is The Shop Around the Corner, a 1940 American romantic comedy written by Samson Raphaelson, based on the 1937 play Parfumerie by Miklos Laszlo. The Shop Around the Corner is on Time's all-time best movies and is the inspiration for the 1998 film You've Got Mail. Our production is based on the Lux Radio Theater's one-hour version presented in 1941. The Radioactive Theater players include Chris Paradise, Bella Thornton, Alex Shapiro, Leo Frappier, Peter Russo, Julie Standrowich, and Catherine Thornton.
Joey!
Yes, Mr. Matichek?
Joey, run across the street and get me some bicarbonate of soda.
Yes, Mr. Matichek.
Good morning, Lily.
Good morning, Mr. Matichek.
Good morning, Miss Baker.
Morning, Mr. Matichek.
Good morning, Mr. Peters.
Good morning, Mr. Matichek.
Good morning, Mr. Harvey.
Good morning, Mr. Matichek.
Good morning, Mr. Martin.
Morning, sir.
Mr. Martin, I'd like to see you in a few minutes on a very important matter.
Yes, sir. Anytime you say.
Well, Martin, it won't be long now.
What do you mean?
Well, I heard you had dinner with Mr. Matichek and his wife last night.
Oh, that. Yeah.
And now this morning he wants to see you about something important. He'll be the manager pretty soon.
Oh, I don't know. Say, Peters.
Hmm?
Want to hear something nice?
Huh? You're not a manager yet?
No. It's a letter from a girl.
Oh, a girl.
Yeah, listen to this. Listen. My heart was trembling as I walked into the post office, and there you were lying in a box 237. I took you out of your envelope and read you. Read you right there. Oh, my dear friend.
What is all this?
Well, you see, I was looking through the ads in the Sunday paper, and I ran across one that said, here, I'll show you. See?
Modern girl wishes to correspond on cultural subjects, anonymously with intelligent, sympathetic young man.
That's me.
Address, dear friend, box 237. Oh, I know those ads. Those papers are full of them. How long has this been going on?
Well, we've exchanged 4 letters. And, Peters, she's no ordinary girl. Listen. Here, on page 8, she says, here. Are you tall or short? Are your eyes brown or blue? Don't tell me. What does it matter, so long as our minds meet?
You are right. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. And then she says, there are so many great and beautiful things to discuss in this world of ours. It would be wasting these precious moments if we told each other the vulgar details of how we earn our daily bread. I agree with you when you say, she means, well, are men and women for but to rise above the stupid necessities of the 8-hour day?
Mm-hmm. You said that.
Sure. You see...
Martin!
Yes, Mr. Matichek.
Martin, I can get 5 dozen more of these cigarette boxes from Nichols Brothers. What do you think of it? I think it's great. You see, you open it up like this.
No, Mr. Matichek, that's not for us.
You haven't even listened to it. It plays Ochichonia.
Well, even if it played Beethoven's 9th Symphony, I'd still say no. I don't like the whole idea.
It's wonderful how quickly you can make up your mind. I've been in this business for 35 years, and it took me a whole hour to decide that I liked it. But I guess you're a genius. Harvey?
Yes, Mr. Matichek?
Listen, what do you think of this? Look. Now, I want your honest opinion. Don't let me influence you. You hear that? That's a very popular classic. Well, Miss Baker?
I think people who smoke cigarettes and who love to hear Ochichonia will like it.
Harvey, what do you think?
I'd go even further. I think it'll make music lovers out of cigarette smokers and cigarette smokers out of music lovers. I think it's sensational.
Well, Mr. Martin.
I still think it's terrible.
Give me one reason.
All right. Let's say a man smokes 20 cigarettes a day. So he opens the box 20 times, and 20 times he has to listen to Ochichonye. And besides that, It's imitation leather and cheap glue. In 2 weeks, the whole thing will come apart and all you'll have left is Ochichonye.
I know it, I know it. It's imitation leather. You don't have to tell me. You just sell things and let me do the buying.
Excuse me, Mr. Matichek. Nichols Brothers are on the phone.
I'll take it here.
Yes, sir.
Hello, Nichols? Yeah, this is Matichek. Cancel the rest of those cigarette boxes. They're terrible.
Well, good morning, madam.
Good morning.
Anything I can do for you? We're having a sale on purses today.
Well, to tell you the truth, I don't want to buy anything.
Oh, well, that's perfectly all right. If you want to look around, just make yourself at home.
Thank you. I wonder if I could see Mr. Matichek.
Well, Mr. Matichek is very busy at the moment. If you tell me what you wanted, I'm sure I could take care of you.
Well, I noticed in the window that you're having a summer sale.
Oh, yes, yes, madam. Everything is reduced 25%.
Really? That's wonderful. I guess you'll do a big business.
Oh, there's no question about it. We'll probably have such a big rush we won't be able to take care of the customers.
Then you ought to have some extra help.
Oh, we probably will.
In that case, maybe you can use me. I'm looking for a job.
You? What's the idea of letting me go through this whole routine,
Oh, well, I'm terribly sorry. I didn't mean to. Do you think you could help me to get a job here?
I wish I could, but there isn't a chance.
But you just told me you need some extra help because of the rush.
Look around for yourself. You can see what kind of business we're doing. Every half hour, another customer rushes in.
Well, listen, I've had a lot of experience.
Yeah, but I know the situation here.
I worked for 2 years at Blake & Company, and I left on my own accord. And before that, I was with Blayton Brothers for 10 months.
Now listen, if it were up to me, I'd put you to work. But I'm not the boss, so...
Then why don't you let me see him?
Because he's in a very bad mood today.
I'll take a chance. Maybe I can cheer him up.
Now listen, madam. I've been here 9 years. I know Mr. Matichek inside and out. I know exactly what his attitude would be. I could tell you word for word exactly what he'd say.
Mr. Martin! Come here!
Now you see what you've done.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mr. Martin!
Yeah, coming, Mr. Matichek.
So, Mr. Martin, you know every reaction of mine, eh? You know exactly what I think even before I think it? You're not only a genius, you're a mind reader.
But, Mr. Matichek...
Never mind now. I'll take care of this customer.
But, Mr. Matichek...
Quiet! Good morning, madam. I'm Mr. Matichek.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Matichek.
Please, have a seat.
Thank you. Mr. Matichek, I was at Blake & Company.
I'm sure you'll find much nicer things in our shop.
No, I mean, I worked there. I'm looking for a job.
A job? You mean... Oh, no. That's impossible. It's out of the question. Good day.
Oh, but Mr. Matichek...
I have no time. No time. I'm very busy.
Mr. Matichek, please. I've got to have a job. And I'm good. I know merchandise. Really, I do. Please, just give me a chance.
Oh, so you know merchandise, eh? Well, let me ask you something. Would you buy a box like this? Well?
Well, I couldn't buy anything at the moment.
No. I just want your opinion, your honest opinion. Do you like it?
Oh, yes, I do. It's marvelous.
Why?
I think it's romantic.
Romantic? What's romantic about it?
Huh? Well, cigarettes and music. I don't know. It makes me think of moonlight and cigarettes and music.
There, Martin. This is a woman's point of view.
But, Mr. Matichek, she...
How much are you selling it for?
Well, I'd say, $4.25.
That's a bargain. That's a real bargain.
Oh, that's a candy box, isn't it?
No, madam, it's a...
Yes, madam, that's a candy box. And I would say a very unusual one.
Yes, I like it. How much is it?
Watch, madam. It has a very distinctive feature.
Well,
You see?
Is that coming out of this?
Yes, madam, yes. It's Ochechonia, a very popular classic.
Oh, no. That'll never do. Where do people get ideas like that? Can you imagine every time you take a piece of candy, you have to listen to that song? Oh, no.
Oh, no, madam. Wait. Please. I know just what you mean, madam. And yet, you see, some of our customers like it for the very thing you object to. Now, there's no denying we all have a weakness for candy. And when I say weakness, I don't mean to say anything against candy. I only mean we're inclined to overdo it a little.
That's true, I suppose.
Now, for instance, madam, have you any ideas how many pieces of candy you eat a day?
Well, no, I never gave it a thought, but I am taking on weight.
That's just it. We pick up a piece of candy absentmindedly, and then we take another piece, and before we realize it, we've gained a pound or two.
Don't I know it?
Now, you see, this little box makes you candy conscious. That's what Matichek and Company designed it for. Every time you open it, this little song is a message to you. See? Too much candy. Now be careful.
How much is it?
$5.50. Reduced from $6.95. It's a real bargain.
I'll take it. You can wrap it up while I look at these purses.
Well, Mr. Matichek.
What's your name, young lady?
Smith. Karen Smith.
Miss Smith, you may report for work tomorrow morning.
Thank you.
Mr. Martin here will show you the ropes.
Yes, of course.
Or perhaps you can show him.
You're late this morning, Martin.
No, it's only 10 of.
Morning, Martin. Hello, Peters.
Hello.
Morning, Mr. Harvey. Oh, say, Martin, can you come to the house tonight?
No, I'm sorry, Peters. I have a big dinner date tonight.
Oh, with the boss again?
No. He doesn't invite me anymore. Say, how do you figure him out?
Well, I give up. It's certainly difficult to get along with him these days.
He hardly talks to me anymore.
Do you know what I think? I think he's having trouble with his wife.
Who is? Matichek?
I wasn't talking to you, Harvey.
You said Matichek was having trouble with his wife?
I didn't say that at all. I only said...
Never mind, Peters. Go on, Harvey. You've got work to do, haven't you?
Sure. We all have.
I don't like that fellow.
Say, we better get this counter dusted before Matichek gets here.
I'll do it, Martin.
No, we'll both do it. Say, Peters. You mind if I ask you a personal question?
No, go ahead.
Now, this is very confidential. Peters, suppose a fellow like me wants to get married.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. Who's the girl?
Now listen, I only said suppose. Now look, how much does it cost you to live? Just you and Mrs. Peters, leaving out the children.
Well, why fool yourself?
Well, let's say temporarily. How much does it cost?
It can be done, and very nicely. Naturally, you can't be extravagant.
No. Well, suppose a fella took a 3-room apartment. Kitchen, living room, and bedroom. Where do you eat?
In the kitchen. You get a nice big kitchen.
Well, then where do you entertain?
Entertain? What are you, an ambassador? Listen, if somebody is really your friend, he comes after dinner.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Miss Smith.
Morning.
Morning.
Miss Smith?
Yes, Mr. Martin?
I noticed you wore a yellow blouse with light green dots yesterday.
As usual, you're mistaken, Mr. Martin. It was a green blouse with light yellow dots, and everybody else thought it was very becoming.
Now listen.
And I don't remember that I ever remarked about your neckties. And believe me, Mr. Martin, if you think I couldn't say anything about them, just ask Mr. Harvey. So please leave my blouse alone. It's none of your business.
I'm sorry. But Mr. Matichek seems to think it is my business.
Oh, yes, that's right. I'm working under you. Well, from now on, Mr. Martin, I'll telephone you every morning and describe just what I'm going to wear. And before I select my next season's wardrobe, that dressmaker will submit samples to you. Ugh, imagine you dictating what I should wear.
Now you get this straight. I don't care what you wear. If you want to look like a pony in a circus, all right. But I have troubles of my own without your blouse coming between Mr. Matichek and me.
Look, I sold as much goods yesterday as anybody in the place. $95 isn't bad for a rainy Friday, 3 weeks before Christmas. Did you tell that to Mr. Matichek?
I did.
And what did he say?
He said tell her not to come in that blouse anymore.
Tell him I won't.
I will. What was I just saying, Peters?
About your girl. Who is she, Martin?
Oh, yeah. Remember that girl I was corresponding with?
Oh, yes, about the cultural subject.
Yeah. Well, after a while, we came to the subject of love. Naturally, on a very cultural level.
What else can you do in a letter?
You know, Peters, she's the most marvelous girl in the world.
Is she pretty?
She has such ideals, Peters. She's so far above the girls you meet today, and there's simply no comparison.
I see. She's not pretty.
What's the difference? As a matter of fact, I don't know whether she is or not. You see, I haven't met her yet.
You haven't?
No, I keep on postponing it. I'm scared, Peters. See, this girl thinks I'm the most wonderful person in the world. And, after all, there's a chance she might be disappointed.
Yes, there is a chance. On the other hand, you might be disappointed, too.
Oh, no. No, I won't. I'm as sure of that as I am my own name. Peters, I'm meeting her tonight. For dinner.
Where?
In a restaurant on 8th Street.
Ah, I suppose you're going to wear a red carnation, huh?
Yes, I am. And she's going to have one as a bookmark and a copy of Tolstoy's Anna Karenina. Gee, you know, I haven't slept for days.
What's her name?
I don't even know that. I just call her Dear Friend or Dear Box 237.
Oh, Dear Box 237. Oh, I'm sure she'll be beautiful.
Well, not too beautiful. What chance would there be for a fellow like me?
What do you want, a homely girl?
No. Knock wood for just a lovely average girl. That's all I want.
Hmm.
Good morning.
Good
morning.
Good
morning, Mr. Jay.
I just want to tell you, our window looks terrible. There isn't a store on the street that doesn't look better. It's a wonder we get any customers.
Everybody will have to stay the night to redecorate.
Oh, no.
Stay tonight of all nights.
There goes your day with Box 237.
Yep. Hand me one of those belts, Joey, will you? Belong up here on the shelf.
Okay. Say, Mr. Martin, do you think I have to work tonight, too? After all, I'm a child.
No, you don't have to stay tonight.
No kidding?
I'll straighten it out with Mr. Matichek.
Oh, gee, thanks.
May I help you, Mr. Martin?
No, thank you, Miss Smith.
It's no trouble at all. I'd like to. Yesterday, I put all the imported bags on the shelf over there.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the way you wanted it, Mr. Martin?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad you like it. If there's anything wrong, I'd appreciate it if you tell me.
Since when are you interested in my idea of what's right and wrong?
Well, I like to please you, Mr. Martin. After all, I'm working under you.
You know, you don't have to keep harping on that.
Oh, I don't mean it in that way at all. Regardless of what I think of you personally, I believe that anybody who works with you and doesn't get a great deal out of it is just dumb.
Just what do you mean? What do you think of me personally?
Well, since you asked, I'd say no matter what can be said against you, I think you're a gentleman.
Well, I try to be.
Mr. Martin, you don't realize what that means to a working girl. What a girl has to go through in some shops. Well, for instance, when I worked at Booten Brothers and Sons, well, the sons were all right, but the brothers, ugh. And that's why I like it here. You see, when you say, Miss Smith, let's go in the stockroom and put some belts on the shelf, you really want to put some belts on the shelf, and that's my idea of a gentleman.
Well, I just don't believe in mixing belts with pleasure. You know, this is the first time you've shown a little sense. Maybe there's hope for you after all.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. Oh, I almost forgot. Would it be possible, Mr. Martin, do you think you could spare me tonight? And then maybe Mr. Matichek would let me off?
Oh, so that's why I'm a gentleman. That's why you learn so much from me all of a sudden,
I'm sure I don't know what you mean.
You just want to get off early, huh?
I have to, Mr. Martin.
Well, you're out of luck. What a cheap trick that was, and I nearly fell for it, too.
Mr. Martin, I have to get off tonight. It's terribly important.
For 6 months, you've done everything you could to antagonize me, and now you have the nerve?
Well, you haven't been very nice to me. No matter what I do, it's wrong. If I wrap a package, it's not the right way. If I make a suggestion, and some of them are very good. You don't even listen. Everything has to be done exactly your way, and even then you don't like it. When I came into this place, I was full of life and enthusiasm, and, well, now I'm nothing. You've taken all my personality away. But let me tell you something. Any day now, I may be in a position where I won't have to work anymore. And, Mr. Martin, I'll really tell you what I think of you. Mr. Martin, I don't like you.
Karen? Karen, what's the matter?
Oh, he won't let me off. And I've just got to get away early tonight. I've just got to. I have a date. It's the most important thing that's ever happened to me in all my life.
Oh, I know. The boy you told me about. What was his name?
Oh, that's what makes it so awful. I don't even know his name. I just call him Box 237.
It's later the same day. Mr. Matacek's temperature has risen with each passing hour, for six of his employees have asked for the evening off. Now Martin is the unlucky seventh, and Mr. Matacek hits the boiling point.
Do you mean that you want the evening off too, Martin?
Well, yes, Mr. Matacek.
What is this? Does everybody want to leave? Once a year I ask you to stay here.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Matacek. If only I had known yesterday, I could have...
I see. You want a special invitation. Well, next time I'll send you an engraved announcement.
Mr. Matacek, this is the first time in years that I've asked for a favor. I think you're being unjust.
I'm being unjust? Once a year I ask seven ladies and gentlemen, seven, mind you, when next door a shop twice as big as mine employs only four, and, Madam, good afternoon. Is there anything I can show you?
Have you traveling bags for men? Oh, with a zipper?
Oh, yes, madam. Yes, we have every type of traveling bag with a zipper.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm just doing a little window shopping for my husband. He'll be here tomorrow.
I'd be delighted to serve your husband.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Seven ladies and gentlemen, I ask one day a year to be so kind as to redecorate a window, and you have the nerve, Mr. Martin, the oldest employee in the place. Who should set an example?
Mr. Matacek, you spoke to me like this yesterday. What did I do? The whole week you've treated me like this without any reason at all.
Without any reason? Maybe I have more reason than you think.
Well, it's obvious that you're not satisfied with me.
You can draw your own conclusion.
In that case, there's only one thing to do. Maybe we'd better call it a day.
Yeah, maybe we'd better. Miss Baker will see that you get your check.
Thank you.
Mr. Matacek, there's someone on your private phone.
I'll take it in my office. Hello?
Mr. Matacek?
Yes?
This is the Kane Detective Agency. We have that information about your wife.
Oh, well, don't tell me on the phone. Could you come over to my shop, please?
What time, Mr. Matacek?
Oh, well, come now, please. I'll be waiting. Mr. Peters?
Yes, Mr. Matacek?
Tell everyone they may go home. We'll do the windows tomorrow. Sit down, please.
Thank you.
Well, it's true about my wife?
I'm afraid so, Mr. Matacek. Now, here we have the complete record from our operatives, two of our most reliable men.
Go on.
Report on Mrs. Emma Matacek. On December 6th, Mrs. Matacek left her apartment at 8:45. She walked two blocks up to 10th Street. There, Mrs. Matacek was joined by a young man.
A young man?
Yes. Your suspicions were correct, Mr. Matacek. The man was one of your own employees.
I know. He's been to my house for dinner. He's been working for me for almost 10 years.
10 years? That's funny. Our report says only four.
Martin has been here 10 years in January.
Martin? But the young man your wife met is named Harvey.
What's that?
Francis W. Harvey, 464 Hill Street.
Oh, then I see. Let me have that report, please.
Yes, sir.
22 years we've been married. 22 years I was proud of my wife. Well, she didn't want to grow old with me. If you'll send me your bill, I'll take care of it immediately.
Yes, Mr. Magic. Good night.
Good night.
Is this the restaurant where you're going to meet her?
Yeah. Go ahead, Peters. Go on in.
Well, why don't you go in? I really think you should keep your date.
No, I haven't got the heart. Not after what happened today. I was going to get married. Now I haven't even got a job. Peters, do me a favor and deliver my note, please.
All right.
And look, Peters.
Hmm?
I don't want to know what she looks like. If she's homely, I got enough bad news for today. If she's lovely, it'll make it that much more difficult. So don't tell me.
Oh, I won't. Now, what's the name of that book again?
Anna Karenina, and A Red Carnation is a Bookmark.
Well, wait, maybe I'd better look in the window first. You stand over that way, out of sight.
Well, do you see her?
No, not yet. Oh, say, there is a beautiful girl.
Really?
Very beautiful, but no book.
Oh.
There's another girl, but wait a minute. I think I see the book right here under the window, yes. Anna Karenina by Tolstoy. Anna Carnation.
Go on, go on.
I can't see her face. She's sitting behind that rack. Wait. There's a cup of coffee on the table. She's taking a piece of cake. Martin, she's dunking.
Well, why shouldn't she?
All right, she's leaning forward now. Martin, she... Oh!
Can you see her?
Yes, I see her.
Is she pretty?
Very pretty.
Oh, she is, huh?
Yes.
Yeah?
I'd say she has a little of the coloring of Karen.
Karen?
You mean
Karen Smith? Miss Smith in the store?
Now, Martin, you'll have to admit that Karen is a good-looking girl, and personally, I've always found her a very likable girl.
Oh, this is fine time for you to be talking about Miss Smith.
Well, if you don't like Miss Smith, I can tell you right now you're not going to like this girl either.
Well, why?
Because it is Miss Smith.
No, it can't be.
Well, look for yourself.
Miss Smith? What? Why, this is horrible. Here, give me that note.
What are you going to do, let that poor girl wait in there?
Well, why shouldn't Miss Smith wait? For 6 months, she's fought with me every day.
But still, she wrote those letters.
Oh, well, that's my misfortune.
Well, I'm going back to the shop. I've got some things to do. Goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye, Peters.
Excuse me, miss. Can I take this chair?
Oh, no, don't. Please. I'm expecting somebody, waiter. He'll be here any minute.
Okay. Red Carnation, huh?
Yeah.
Two nights ago, we had a case with roses. Turned out very nice, very nice. But once, about 3 months ago, we had a sad case with gardenias. She waited all night and nobody came.
Oh, really? She must have felt terrible.
Well, that's life, you know. You have to expect things like that.
Yes, of course you... Ugh, waiter, isn't your clock a little fast? My watch says it's only 8:27.
Listen, you got nothing to worry about. A pretty girl like you, if he doesn't come, I'll put it on Carnation myself.
Hello, Miss Smith.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Martin.
Quite a coincidence. I had an appointment here. You haven't seen Mr. Peters by any chance, have you?
No, I haven't.
Well, I guess I'll wait. Do you mind if I sit down?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do mind.
Well, what's the matter?
Oh, please, Mr. Martin, will you go to some other table? I have an appointment, too.
Oh, really? Well, who are you meeting?
Now, please don't be sarcastic. I realize that you've had a bad day, Mr. Martin, and you probably feel very bitter.
Bitter? By leaving Matichek and Company? Listen, I could have any other job like that.
Oh, well, in that case, there's no use wasting sympathy on you. Good night, Mr. Martin.
Listen, you don't have to feel sorry for me.
Mr. Martin, I say good night, please.
Well, what are you so nervous about?
I'm not nervous. Do I look nervous?
I should say you do.
Well, I'm not.
You just knocked over the water.
Well, that's just an accident.
Here, I'll mop it up for you.
Mr. Martin, will you please?
It's no trouble at all. There, that's better. Oh, I see you're reading Tolstoy's Anna Karenina, huh?
Yes. Anything against it?
Oh, no. I never expected to meet you in a cafe with Tolstoy. I didn't know you went in for high literature.
There are a lot of things you don't know about me, Mr. Martin.
Yes? Well, there are a lot of things you don't know about me, Miss Smith. You know, people seldom go to the trouble of scratching the surface of things to find out the inward truth.
Mr. Martin, I wouldn't care to scratch your surface, because I know exactly what I'd find. A handbag instead of a heart, a suitcase instead of a soul, and instead of an intellect, a cigarette lighter that doesn't work.
Oh, that's very well put. Comparing my intellect with a cigarette lighter that doesn't work is such an interesting mixture of poetry and meanness.
Meanness?
Well, now, don't misunderstand me, Miss Smith. I was just on the verge of paying you a compliment.
Oh, please, Mr. Martin. I told you I was expecting somebody.
Well, that's all right. As soon as he comes, I'll leave.
Look, Mr. Martin, I better warn you. This person is jealous.
Oh?
Very jealous.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and if you insist on staying here, I will not be responsible for anything that may happen. I hope you understand what I mean.
Sure. Listen, just in case your party doesn't show up, would I mean, if he should stand you up or something.
Don't worry about that. This party will show up.
Ah, well, so he came, huh? Will you have a menu, sir?
Oh, no.
I told her not to worry.
But...
pretty girl like her?
Waiter, this is not the gentleman I was expecting.
Oh, no?
No, and I don't want him sitting here at all. Will you please ask him to take another table?
What's the idea, mister?
All right. Is that next table taken?
No.
Yeah, well, then I'll sit over there. Cup of coffee, please.
I'm sorry, miss.
Oh, it's all right. Just as long as he doesn't sit at my table.
And I'll keep an eye out for that carnation.
Thanks.
Tell me, have you read Zola's Madame Bovary?
Madame Bovary is not by Zola. Will you please go away?
Now look, Miss Smith.
Oh, what are you trying to do? Ruin my evening? What have I ever done to you? Why do you hate me so?
I don't hate you.
Oh, I suppose you love me.
No, why should I? What have you ever done to make me love you?
I don't want you to love me.
Well, I don't. You know what that song reminds me of?
Yes, thank you. 2 dozen unsold cigarette boxes.
No, you're wrong again. It reminds me of a girl who was looking for a job. A very nice girl, I thought.
Oh, really? How you've changed.
That was before you began to make fun of me, giving me imitations of me in the locker room. And I want to take this opportunity, Miss Smith, to inform you that I am not bow-legged.
Aren't you?
No, I'm not.
Well, I have information to the contrary. Mr. Harvey told me that you have your trousers specially made.
That's a lie. I've never been to a tailor in my life. And if you think I'm bow-legged, you can come on out on the sidewalk with me and I'll pull up my trouser legs.
Don't you dare.
How would you like it if I made remarks about your hands being red?
That's exactly what you did yesterday.
Yes, but only after you made fun of my legs.
And they aren't red at all.
No, not anymore. After I called your attention to them. And let me tell you something else, Miss Smith. You may have beautiful thoughts, but you certainly hide them. So far as your actions are concerned, you're cold and snippy, like an old maid, and you have an awful tough time trying to make any man fall in love with you.
Mr. Martin, you're getting funnier every minute. I could show you a few letters that might open your eyes. No, maybe not. No, you probably wouldn't understand what's in them. They're written by a type of man so far above you that it's ridiculous. I have to laugh when I think of you calling me an old maid. You! Why, you little insignificant clerk.
All right, that does it. Goodbye, Anna Karenina.
Goodbye.
Martin!
Peters, what's the matter? What's wrong?
I just went to the shop. They took Mr. Matichuk away in the ambulance.
What?
He tried to commit suicide.
Mr. Matichuk, are you all right?
I think I will be. Sit down, Martin. And I want to thank you for coming.
Oh, no. As soon as I heard,
Martin, do you remember when you were at my house for dinner the last time? I told you if things go well, I might take it easier, and maybe by Christmas make you manager of the shop. Well, now I have to take it easier. Would you care to work for me again after...
Mr. Matichek, don't even think about it. That's all over.
Is it possible that I ever distrusted you, Martin? I hated you. I couldn't stand your presence anymore. That's how far jealousy can drive a man.
Jealousy? I don't know what you mean.
When I first got that anonymous letter, I laughed at it. My wife having secret rendezvous with one of my employees. But you can't throw a letter like that away. It stays with you. Every word.
But how could you suspect me?
I now know that it was Harvey. But, you see, you were the only one from the shop who came to my home. You sent flowers to my wife.
Well, I was only doing it to...
You don't have to tell me. But if this poison once gets into your mind, please try to understand.
Sure. I understand.
Martin, here are the keys to Matichek and Company.
Thank you. What do I do about Harvey?
Harvey? I want him very quietly dismissed.
Quietly dismissed? Yes, sir. I'll take care of him, Mr. Matichek.
What do you mean I'm fired?
Do you hear me? Get out.
Don't push. Don't push.
Go on. Go on. Beat it.
What right do you have to fire me anyway? What does Mr. Matichek know about this?
Mr. Matichek has nothing to do with it. I'm the manager. You don't work here anymore.
Oh, so you're the manager. How do I know you're the manager? Prove it. Show it to me in black and white.
Oh, you want it in black and white, do you? Well, you're going to get it in black and blue.
Oh, yeah? Well, how do you like this?
Martin, stop! Stop!
Oh, they're killing each other!
What's going on?
Martin, you've knocked him out.
Peters, you and Joey get him out of here. Come on, go on.
I got his legs.
Peters, the back way, and do it quietly. Mr. Matichek doesn't want any fuss. Miss Smith, you wait here.
Watch his head, Joey.
Why? He wouldn't feel it.
Well, Miss Smith, I suppose you're kind of surprised to see me back, huh?
Well, naturally, I'm glad you have your job again. Congratulations.
Miss Baker tells me you weren't feeling well this morning.
That's all right. Thank you.
You look worn out. Anything go wrong last night?
I tell you, I'm all right. Where's Mr. Matichek? I want to see him.
Well, he's right here. I'm Mr. Matichek.
Oh, Mr. Martin, don't make any jokes. Not today. And if you have to pick on me, make it some other time. I want to talk to Mr. Matichek.
Would it really be so terrible if I were the boss and you had to talk to me?
Will you please stop it? My nerves are at the breaking point.
Miss Smith, I'm simply trying to tell you that.
Haven't you any heart at all? Can't you see I'm sick? I can hardly see straight. The room, everything's turning around, and in this state of mind, I ask you a simple question, and instead of having any consideration for me, you deliberately try to frighten me. Now stop it.
Martin, I didn't have any chance to say it before. Congratulations.
For what, Mr. Peters?
Well, you don't know. Martin's the manager.
Miss Smith?
She fainted.
Peters, go get some water, quick. Quick.
Water.
Hurry it up. Karen, are you all right? Oh, darling, look at me. Karen, darling, oh, you poor kid. Karen.
What happened?
Why, nothing much, Miss Smith. You, just fainted.
Karen Smith has had no further letters from her unknown admirer, Box 237. This misfortune, combined with Martin's appointment as manager, has proved too much for her. So she's taken to her bed with a bad case of nerves. Now she has a visitor, none other than Mr. Martin, alias Box 237.
Good evening, Miss Smith.
Good evening.
I hope you forgive the intrusion. How are you?
I'm all right.
You know, Christmas is coming soon, and we'll all miss a good worker like you, so you better get well. You see, I feel sort of responsible for this whole thing.
You? Oh, no. It wasn't your fault at all. No, there's a much bigger reason, unfortunately.
Miss Smith, don't you think you ought to call a doctor?
No, I don't need a doctor. My trouble is purely psychological, but it's my personal problem, and I'll come out of it.
I'm sorry. It's really a shame you have to go through all this, but as long as it's only psychological...
Only psychological? Mr. Martin, oh really, it's true we're in the same room, but we are not in the same planet.
Miss Smith, I must admire your way of expressing yourself. You certainly know how to put a man in his planet.
Karen, dear?
Yes, Grandma?
Look, darling, I sent down to the post office.
Oh, Grandma, tell me, was there a letter?
Oh, here, darling, it's a fat one, too.
Oh. Mr. Martin, it was kind of you to drop in, but I don't want to spoil your evening.
Oh, no, I've lots of time. Go ahead and read your letter.
If you don't mind.
Certainly not.
Oh, I forgot to take care of the messenger boy. Will you excuse me, Mr. Martin?
Certainly.
Oh.
Good news?
Oh, very good news, Mr. Martin. I'm sure I'll be back to the shop tomorrow, and I can promise you I'll sell more goods than I ever sold before.
Well, that's fine. My, it's amazing what one little letter can do.
Oh, you know, if I weren't feeling so wonderful right now, I'd be pretty sore at you.
At me? Why?
You really spoiled my date last night. You see, this gentleman came to the cafe, looked in the window, saw us together, and he misunderstood.
You mean he thought you and I were friends?
He must have. Listen to this. Tell me and be frank. Who is that very attractive young man? He's just the type women fall for. Now, isn't that marvelous?
Yes. I'm sorry I caused you so much trouble.
Oh, no. I'll straighten that out. Let him be a little jealous. It won't hurt him.
You know, he doesn't seem to be much of a man, though. He's afraid to come to the table because another man is there.
Oh, he was not afraid.
No.
He's just tactful and sensitive.
Oh?
He's not the kind of man who would sit at the table uninvited, no. You see, it's different to explain a man like him to a man like you. Why, where you'd say black, he'd say white. Where you'd say ugly, he says beautiful. And where you'd say old maid, he says, well, here, listen. Eyes that sparkle with fire and mystery, vivacious, fascinating. He says I make him think of gypsy music.
Say, he's pretty smart.
Oh, speaking of gypsy music, we're still having some difficulty selling those Ochichonia boxes, aren't we?
Oh, that doesn't matter.
Mr. Martin, consider one box definitely sold. I just got an inspiration. I'm going to give it to my friend for Christmas.
Oh, no, don't do that.
What?
You're taking an awful chance. Look, why don't you give him a wallet? I know he'd be crazy about it. And we have those new imported pigskins.
Oh, no. I'm not interested.
Look, I'll make you a special price.
Nope, I'm sorry.
And another thing. A wallet is not only practical, it's romantic. On one side, he carries your last letter. On the other side, your picture. And when he opens it, he finds you. And that's all the music he wants.
Why, Mr. Martin, you surprised me. That's very well expressed. Oh, yes, I must admit, that's very nice.
Well, thank you.
Nope, just the same. He's going to get the cigarette box.
Oh.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Matichek.
Well, Merry Christmas to you, officer.
I haven't seen you for quite a while, Mr. Matichek.
Yes. I'm supposed to be pretty sick, but it's Christmas Eve, and I just couldn't stand it any longer. I'm going in and help.
Well, take it easy, Mr. Matichek. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, look, Mabel. Do you think Howie would like that briefcase?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
Pardon me.
Hmm?
I can't see very well without my glasses. Can you tell me how much that briefcase is?
$12.50.
Only $12.50? Well, you certainly get exceptional values here. I wonder how Matichek & Company does it.
Well, if you don't know Mr. Matichek, who should?
Ladies and gentlemen, my good friends, we have just had our biggest day since 1929.
Oh, wow.
You should be very proud, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. When I was in the hospital, I read your little note over and over. I'm glad to know you missed me and hoped I would come back home again. You're right. This is my home, and only too seldom one realizes that the people he works with are his real friends. There's no Christmas without a bonus, am I right? Miss Baker will pass out your checks, and then I want you all to go home and have a very, very Merry Christmas.
Yay. Yeah.
Going home, Karen?
No, I've still got to wrap this wallet. Do you like it, Mr. Peters?
Oh, I think it's wonderful. Is this for that gentleman you told me about?
Mm-hmm. I'm meeting him tonight for the first time. Isn't it exciting?
Oh, yes, yes. I think it might be. Well, Merry Christmas, Karen, and I hope everything turns out just as you wanted.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, Mr. Peters.
Merry Christmas, Martin.
Merry Christmas to you, Peters. Well, Miss Smith, we're just about ready to close.
I'm sorry. I'll be there in just a second.
Oh, that's all right. There's no hurry. Oh, present for somebody?
Mm-hmm. I followed your advice after all. It's the wallet.
Oh, fine. Want to see something? Here, look at this. I bought it for a very special friend.
Oh, a locket.
Yeah, with stones in it. Right there, see?
Oh, say, it's beautiful. I didn't know you had a girlfriend.
Well,
I never even suspected.
I guess you think it's pretty funny that a girl would like somebody like me.
Oh, now, Mr. Martin, don't let's start all over again. It's Christmas, and I'd like to be friends with you. And besides, you're wrong. Do you mind if I tell you something?
No, not at all.
Well, when I started to work here, something very strange happened to me. I got psychologically mixed up.
Oh, you don't say.
Mm-hmm. I found myself looking at you again and again. I just couldn't take my eyes off you.
Oh, really?
Yes, and all the time I was saying to myself, Karen Smith, what's the matter with you? This Martin's not a particularly attractive man.
Oh?
Oh, I hope you don't mind.
Oh, no. No, not at all.
And now comes this paradox. I caught myself falling for you.
Fall? Well, I can't believe that.
Oh, yes, Mr. Martin. In those first few weeks, there were moments in the stockroom when you could have swept me off my feet.
Well, now I'm getting psychologically mixed up.
Well, you see, I was a different girl then. I was very naive. Well, that's all forgotten now. Now, you go to your girlfriend and, by the way, is it serious?
Oh, yes, very.
We might both be engaged Monday morning.
Yes, I think we will.
I don't want you to misunderstand. In my case, I say it just might happen.
Well, as a matter of fact, I can tell you it will happen.
How do you know?
Well, now, I might as well tell you, I guess. He came to see me.
Who?
Your fiancé.
What?
He came last night. You shouldn't have told him who I am. I spent a very uncomfortable hour. You see, he didn't believe it when you wrote him I meant nothing to you.
I don't understand, but coming to see you, it doesn't sound like him at all.
Oh, well, don't worry about it. I straightened everything out. In a little while, you'll be Mrs. Popkin.
Mrs. Popkin?
Yes, that's his last name, isn't it? That's what he told me.
Huh? Oh, yes. Popkin. That's right.
Popkin?
Yes. You know, he's a nice fellow. I congratulate you.
Well, thank you. I think he's a very attractive man, don't you?
Yes. For his type, I would say yes.
Would you really classify him as a definite type?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. And you don't have to try to change him. Don't you dare put him on a diet.
Oh. You would call him fat?
No, I wouldn't. But, well, that's a matter of opinion. Personally, I think that a little stomach gives him a nice homey quality. And that's what you want in a husband, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what I want, yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. And you're right, too. If I were a girl and I had to choose between a young, good-for-nothing with lots of hair and a fine, solid, mature citizen, I think I'd pick Matthias Popkin, too.
Matthias? But he... Don't you think he has a fine mind? Oh, didn't he impress you as being very witty?
Well, he struck me as somewhat depressed. But it's unfair to judge a man when he's out of a job.
Out of a job? Why, he never told me.
He never told? Well, that's just how sensitive he is. But you have nothing to worry about. At least he feels you both can live very nicely on your salary.
Did you tell him how much I make?
Well, he's your fiancé and he asked me.
Ugh.
And let me tell you something else. Mentioning the bonus didn't do any harm either.
Ugh, I can't believe it. I never dreamed he was materialistic. Why, if you read his letters, such ideals, such a lofty point of view, it... Oh, this is horrible.
Oh, I'm sorry you feel this way. I hate to think that I spoiled your Christmas.
I built up such an illusion about him. I thought he was perfect.
I had to be the one to destroy it.
Well, that's all right. I really ought to thank you.
Karen, if I'd known in the beginning how you really felt about me, things would have been different. We wouldn't have been fighting all the time. If we did, it wouldn't have been over handbags and suitcases, but something like, well, should your grandmother come to live with us or not?
It's very sweet of you to try to cheer me up like this, but I think we'd better say goodnight. You have an engagement, and so have I, and we shouldn't be late. Goodnight.
No, wait. Wait a minute, wait. You know what I wish would happen? When your bell rings at 8:30 tonight and you open the door instead of Popkin, I come in.
Oh, please, you. You're only making it more difficult.
Then I'd say to you, Karen, darling.
Oh, please, don't.
Dear sweetheart Karen, I can't stand it any longer. Please get your key. Open box 237, take me out of the envelope, and please kiss me.
No, Mr. Martin, stop. You mustn't. Oh, what? What did you say? You?
Dear friend, dear box 237.
Oh, you. You are dear friend.
Yes. Are you disappointed?
Oh, no. Well, psychologically, I'm very confused. But personally, I don't feel bad at all. You wrote all these wonderful letters.
Uh-huh.
You like me.
Oh, Karen, I love you.
Oh, that night. The time you came to the restaurant. I was terribly rude to you, wasn't I?
Oh, it was nothing at all.
Yes, I was. Don't you remember? Why, I called you bow-legged.
Yeah, and I wanted to prove that I wasn't. I was going to go out on the street and pull up my trouser legs.
Well, would you mind very much if I asked you to pull them up now?
Well, certainly not. Do you see?
Oh, darling. Oh, darling, isn't it a wonderful, wonderful Christmas?
RAT's production of The Shop Around the Corner, featuring Chris Paradise as Mr. Martin, Bella Thornton as Karen Smith, Alex Shapiro as Mr. Peters, Leo Frappier as Mr. Matichek, Peter Russo as Mr. Harvey, and Julie Standrovich and Catherine Thornton in supporting roles. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. This program was produced and directed by Catherine Thornton and Julie Standrovich, with sound effects and music by John McManaman. Tune in again next time for Radioactive Theater, a production of Audio Journal.
Hello, listeners. listeners, on Tuesday, June 2nd at 6 p.m., Speaking Volumes begins a brand new book titled Say Nothing, a true story of murder and memory in Northern Ireland by Patrick Radden Keefe. Be sure to get your copy now for this stimulating conversation.
Welcome to Everyday Poems for Every Day, sponsored by Audio Journal. Our poem today is The Jewel by Eugene Field. On the 11th of July, 1804, was the date of the notorious duel between American politicians Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton. Burr was then Vice President of the United States. Hamilton was Secretary of the Treasury. Their rivalry was fierce and famous, and after a series of public exchanges, Burr challenged Hamilton to an affair of honor, pistols at dawn. Burr killed Hamilton and was charged with murder, though the charges were later dropped. Eugene Field's duel is an altogether more humorous affair. Through gossip told by household objects, the story is narrated of a great fight between a cat and a dog. The gingham dog and the calico cat side by side on the table sat. 'Twas 12:30, and what do you think? Nor one nor t'other had slept a wink. The old Dutch clock and the Chinese plate appeared to know as sure as fate there was going to be a terrible spat. I wasn't there, I simply state what was told to me by the Chinese plate. The gingham dog went bow, wow, wow, and the calico cat replied, meow. The air was littered an hour or so with bits of gingham and calico, while the old Dutch clock in the chimney place, up with its hands before its face, for it always dreaded a family row. Now mind, I'm only telling you what the old Dutch clock declares is true. The Chinese plate looked very blue and wailed, oh dear, what shall we do? But the gingham dog and the calico cat wallowed this way and tumbled that, employing every tooth and claw in the awfulest way you ever saw. And oh, how the gingham and calico flew! Don't fancy I exaggerate. I got my news from the Chinese plate. Next morning, where the two had sat, they found no trace of dog or cat, and some folks think unto this day that burglars stole that pair away. But the truth about the cat and pup is this. They ate each other up. Now what do you really think of that? The old Dutch clock, it told me so, and that is how I came to know. You've been listening to Everyday Poems for Every Day, sponsored by Audio Journal and read by me, Nikki Whichelow. Thanks for listening, and may your life be filled with poetic wonder.
This is not a public service announcement. This is a one-minute mystery.
The house was dark when Sid Shady pressed the doorbell. When there was no answer, he went around to the back of the house and removed the window screen. With a screwdriver, he jimmied the latch and slowly slid the window open. Shady tucked his gun in the back of his pants and slipped into the house. Just then, he saw the outline of a figure moving in the dark. Instinctively, Shady reached his right hand back for his gun just as the shadowy figure's left hand also reached for a gun. Shady fired a single shot at the figure, who quickly disappeared. Strangely, neither the shooting nor the break-in was ever reported. Why not?
And here's the solution to our mystery.
Shady had forgotten his keys and was breaking into his own house. The figure he saw moving was his own. in a mirror.
And now back to our regular program.